worship him in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, we do. We come to you today, and we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we want to allow our hearts to connect with you in such a way, Lord, that we're worshiping you in the way that you desire to worship. Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to be, Lord, in synchronization with you today, that our hearts, Lord, would connect with you in such a way that you would bring transformation and change to us. And Lord, that there would be such a presence here, Lord, that we would be transformed, Lord, into a greater level of your image. We just bless the name of Jesus. We lift the name of Jesus high in this place. We thank you, Lord, that your name is above every other name. Your name is above COVID. Your name is above sickness and disease. Your name is above depression. Your name is above anxiety and fears. Lord, we thank you that your name is greater than any other name. And Lord, we run into that name today. We run into that name, Lord, like a strong tower, and we seek refuge, Lord, in your name. For those, Lord, that feel weary and heavy laden, Lord, I pray that they would lay down their burdens, Lord, at your feet. Lord, because you desire for them to have your rest. And right now, in Jesus' name, we receive everything that you desire for this service and for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
there are things, there are people saying that this world, that this country is being shaken in judgment because God is wanting revival and repentance. And even though this world and our nation is being shaken, we as Christians will not be shaken when we stand firm on the love of Christ and on the solid rock that He is for us. So when the world shakes, we stand and we show His light and we show His strength and His love for us, and we pour that out onto those who are also shaking in fear, shaking in whatever it is that is on their hearts, Lord. And we just pray for them. We just pray that we will not let fear shake us, that we will let the fear of the Lord pour out of us, but not fear of man and not fear of anything going on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lord, thank you that you gave us an answer for our sin. Thank you that you gave us an answer for our depravity, for our wickedness, for our fighting against God. And it was your blood. It's your blood. It's your blood that cleanses us. It's your blood that purifies us. It's your blood that makes us right in standing with you. We thank you, God, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood. Your precious blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just declare the blood of Jesus over Yakima right now. Lord, we just apply by faith the blood of Jesus over every heart and over every life, every church, every place it's meeting today. Lord, we just apply the blood of Jesus, the cleansing, purifying blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask that our city, Lord, would be purified and cleansed. Lord, that hearts would, Lord, take that precious gift of your blood, Lord, and apply it to their lives, that they'd receive the salvation that you purchased for them, Lord. Lord, that our city would come awakened, Lord, to the life of God, the purposes of God, and the plans of God. Thank you, Lord. We just lift up Yakima County to you. Every city, every place that is a municipality, Lord, we lift them up to you right now. We just pray that you would touch those hearts and those lives. Thank you, God. Lord, we just ask that the blood of Jesus would purify our government. Lord, that what appears in the natural, Lord, to be chaos and craziness, Lord, that you would work, Lord, and bring hearts to yourself. Allow the truth, Lord, to come and set people free that are in government, that have believed the lie, that have believed the deceptions of the enemy. Lord, we just ask that you would allow the Biden administration and Congress and the Senate and the judicial system, God, to come to repentance, to come to a place, Lord, where they cry out to you, Lord, for direction and guidance. We ask you to bless our government, Lord. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse our government. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Are you okay? I was verifying that Gabe was sharing with me today. All right. How's everyone doing? Good? Good. Praise the Lord. Okay. You prayed for our city. I encourage you to continue to pray for Yakima. Continue to believe that God's going to touch this city and that lives will be changed and transformed. Your prayers change things. How many know that? That our prayer changes things and that it takes a consistency. It takes filling up that hopper in heaven where the incense of the prayers of the saints goes. So I encourage you to continue to pray for Yakima, even though it's not always like it's church time.
Right.
Did you have something? So we want to let you guys know about youth It's on for Monday night, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually tomorrow night. You know that? Yep, tomorrow night. From 6:30 to 8:30, they're going to be downstairs in their new location. And their what? Place of habitation. Exactly. And we'll just be excited to hear your guys' first report from there. I know you guys got a little bit of a setback last week because of frustrating COVID, but praise the Lord. It's a new day. And then every Tuesday and Wednesdays, Tuesdays it's women's, Wednesdays it's men, 7 p.m., and we go about a little hour and 15 minutes. Usually it's 7 to 8, but sometimes we go a little bit longer. And Gaze, she has different topics and stuff. I think you're going to be doing a series, aren't you? Mm-hmm. On
Thankfulness.
Mm-hmm. From the woman who wrote Jesus Calling, right?
Correct.
Yep, okay. And we've been going through different parts of Revelation. We'll be in Revelation 4 this week. So if anyone would like to join either of those, just text those numbers. And we'll send you an invite with the information on how to connect. And then this Wednesday night, again, you guys are on for that, right? This is at Mindelanes, which is just over here. No, Mindelanes. That's the one downstairs. Yeah, downstairs. That's, it's on like 2nd?
I don't know.
You don't know. Anyway, Mindelanes at 6:30. They're going to have young adults. There we go. What's that? Google it. Yes. That's good. Yeah, I was thinking, this is Knob Hill Lanes, Mindelanes. We used to bowl at Mindelanes, right? Wasn't that Mindelanes we used to bowl?
What would bowled at Knob Hill.
No, but I thought we bowled at Minda there for a while.
For recreation.
Oh, okay. I thought Minda is where we bowled on the league.
Mm-hmm. Not the
you league. Sure? Okay. I remember we had to do that weird parking and stuff.
That was too long ago.
I know, wasn't it? It's another life almost, right? I tell you what, after COVID, it's so hard to remember things. It's like, I do remember doing that. So we're going to talk about God is good. We've been doing a series on One Life Family Worship, and today we were going to do worship, which we did worship, but Eric and Nancy were going to share on worship, and I told Nancy to go ahead and take a little bit more time to feel well if she wasn't up to it. So we're going to talk about God being good. And I know we've talked about this before, and it's like, Pastor, you always talk about this kind of stuff. But I was thinking about, you know, just the different things that Christians and individuals who trust God have been, you know, some, not all people have completely come to the full realization that Jesus is their Savior, but they're trusting God. They're looking at God, you know, to help them. And, they're like going, what is going on? What's happening in the world? What's happening in my life? What's happening in our family's life? You know, Eric and Nancy and family just went through COVID, and they, like us, were believing that the Lord was going to keep sickness and disease away from their family. And so there's one of two things that you can do when that happens to you. You can either say, God must not be good because he allowed sickness and disease to come to our family.
Or
you can say that God is going to work everything for my good. Mm-hmm. God's going to cause what the enemy means for evil in my life to come to good.
Amen.
That's what Joseph told his brothers. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. So even though the enemy could be intending something evil against us, God can take that intention and make it an intention of good. So God is good. And so let's go ahead and look at some verses that declare that. Why don't we, right?
Why don't we?
Why don't we just do that? So I'm going to do a couple of verses at a time here. This is Psalm 34:8. This is kind of my main key verse. I love this verse. We've actually preached on just this verse, but I really wanted to focus on that the Bible does say that God is good. Go ahead.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know about you, but to taste something means we have to handle something. To taste something means that we have to physically interact with it. We have to literally consume something to taste it. And I think this is part of the problem that people don't realize how good God is that they don't interact with him. They don't engage with him in such a way that they do get to taste and see, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what's going on, they get to understand in their heart through a real experience that God is good, because he is good. But you have to taste and see. There's a lot of people who don't taste and see, and they don't think God is good. Has anybody ever heard this? If God's so good, then why did he let COVID come? That's a pretty common statement I hear. If God's so good, why did he let my grandma die from COVID?
Or my friend.
Or your friend. If God's so good, why did he let me get COVID in such a way that I went in the hospital for 11 days and now I have a third of my small intestine removed? If he's so good. Mm-hmm. That's what people can say.
They can.
But we choose not to believe that way. Why? Because we're people of faith. And the thing is that whether we see God is good in our natural lives does not change the fact that he's not good. Mm-hmm. That he is good. Does not make it so that he's not good. It makes it, I'm going to put it this way. It makes it void and a null effect if we choose to believe the circumstances and instead of by faith realize that he has our very best in heart, in his mind. Mm-hmm. And we'll look at that.
But it is choice.
It's choice.
It comes down to choice. We have a choice. And I find it very interesting that it's there's an and in between the taste and the see. Mm-hmm. And if you'll notice, there are two senses that are being involved. There's the tasting that's being involved, and there's the looking, seeing that's being involved. And if you'll
that's
notice,
good.
Taste first, see second. So you have to pause for a minute there. When we were dating, I really liked him, which I guess that's good news. I really liked him, but I was very concerned that chemistry wasn't there, that he was my friend, but that he could not be anything more than my friend. And we were sitting in my living room, and we were talking, and we were sharing about many different topics. And we were sitting side by side, and he was sharing about his son, Aaron, that he had previously, and how he was handicapped and all of that. And what his hopes and his dreams were for Aaron. And I remember distinctly touching his arm and just kind of putting my finger along his arm and just rubbing it as he was speaking, because I wanted him to feel comfort as he was sharing this very deep emotional thing about his son. And then later, I told him my concern about there not being any chemistry. And this is what he said. Do you remember earlier when I was talking about Aaron and I said, yeah? He said, when you touched my arm and you just kind of just stroking it and loving on it as I was sharing, I go, yeah. He goes, I liked it. He goes, I liked it a lot. And I'm like, okay, maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope here, you know? But what I'm telling you is that he could see that my heart was compassionate. He could feel that my heart was compassionate. Mm-hmm. There were two senses involved. And when you get more than one sense, smell, hear, taste, see, touch, then you remember it more. It becomes deeper in you. It becomes something that is a stronger connection for you. So it says that we need to taste first and then see.
That the Lord
That's
is good.
Two senses being involved here. That the Lord is good.
And blessed. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at another verse. This is Psalm 25:8.
God.
Good.
And, oh, excuse me. Good.
He is God.
Well, he's God. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way.
Good and upright. He's good and upright. There's a verse in, I can't remember, I think it might be James, but it says, that there's no shadow or turning in God, that he is pure light. And the thing is that we have to understand that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has suffered decay. And it suffered decay because choices that man has made, not just Adam and Eve. There's been choices all along mankind that has caused decay. We're suffering decay right now and things because I believe people messed with stuff they shouldn't have been messing with. And now the result is what we're dealing with COVID. There's people that are messing with the financial system, and our financial system is suffering decay. Anybody bought groceries lately? Hello. Anybody bought gas lately? Hello. People are messing with stuff, and we're suffering decay. Mm-hmm. Let's go and look at another verse here. I like this one. This is Psalm 31:19.
Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind.
Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. There's a dynamic that takes place sometimes in our Christian walk that we don't see results immediately. You know, it's down the road. And, you know, that's why the Bible says don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you'll receive a reward if you don't faint. But sometimes it takes a while for those stored up things that God has for us to be realized. Mm-hmm. Now, for some of us, it may be in glory that we fully see what we've been sowing. Mm-hmm. You know, we may not see the full results here. I think of, you know, missionary who went to China, and he prayed and prayed and prayed. I think during his whole life, he like touched one person. And he thought, you know, it's just a big waste. But after he died, there was revival in China. I mean, he sowed a seed, and he didn't even get to see the results. How about Abraham? Abraham was promised, you know, basically as many people would be his ancestors as sand on the earth or in stars in the heaven. And he didn't get to see that. Probably by the time he died, he probably had, you know, a nice family, but it wasn't like what he was promised. It took time and time and time. Sometimes God's goodness is not revealed immediately to us. Doesn't mean that he's not good. It just means that we don't see it right away. All right, let's look at another verse here. Psalm 85, a couple verses, 86:5 and 100:5.
For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you.
Then go ahead and read the next one.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
So you notice we've pretty much been staying in the Psalms. And, you know, that's because the Psalms are a song. And we were singing a song today. I think we ended with it, where he's good. God is good, and that he is a loving God, and that his blood has cleansed us. Oh Lord, you're good, and you're forgiving. You're abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. That is a key, I think. I think if we don't call upon God, if we don't seek him, search for him, if we don't taste him, we're going to probably think that God's not good, because we're going to let the circumstances in our life dictate who we think God is to us. Mm-hmm. And that's a lie. Mm-hmm. Why do we think that everything has to be good in our lives for God to be good? Why do we think that our stuff has to be all neat and tidy and in order in reality to us for us to be able to say, no, God is good? It's because we're focusing on this earthly domain. But if we lift our eyes to heaven, to the hills, to the Lord, where our help comes from, this stuff becomes strangely dim, just like the song says. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full wonderful face. And what happens? The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious face. So what do we see here? We see grace. Sorry, glorious grace. Yeah, I always do that. We see that as we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, because how many know Jesus is for the most part unseen? God is unseen. The Holy Spirit is unseen. Not that he doesn't affect our lives. He does affect our lives, but it's not in the same way as we receive things here in the natural. And when we're receiving things here in the natural, and they're contrary to God's character and nature that we see in the heavenlies, that we see in the invisible, the love of God, the sacrifice of Jesus, the sacrifice of God of his one and only Son. When we focus on those things, these things become strangely dim. Strangely dim. Like, whoa. People go like, okay, you got a lot of stuff going on that does not make sense that you should be smiling right now. You know, you've had loss, you've suffered things, all this stuff, and people are wondering strangely, why are you acting this way? It's strange. Are you just like, you don't think right? Are you just insane? Do you not realize the problems that you're going through? No, I don't. I realize Jesus. I see him bigger than everything else.
And I find that it goes against our normal character too. I mean,
totally.
Like, I like to talk. I like to have fun. I like to smile. I like all of those things. But when Jesus tells me to be still and to know that he is God, that includes not talking or anything. That means being still, which sometimes can be a difficult thing for somebody that likes to be up and moving and doing whatever. And so we have to understand that behind what he is telling us to do, there's a reason for it. And that reasoning can be just simply down to knowing him in such an intimate way that intimate way may not be your way.
That's good.
It's going to be his way. And it may be very different from what you're used to.
And it's for our good, if we can see that.
Right. Right.
Let's look at another one. This is a good one.
Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him.
To the soul who seeks him. See, there is a necessity for us to pursue God. Even though he's the one who draws us, there's a necessity for us to respond to him. Yeah. Why? So that we can see his goodness is one of the things. And he will be good to us, and we will see his goodness, even if the circumstances say differently. You know, Lamentations, who's that from? Do you know Lamentations? That's Jeremiah.
Jeremiah
lived in a bad time.
He was the weeping prophet.
He is a weeping prophet. He was seeing Judah and Jerusalem being destroyed. He was seeing that they're getting ready to go into full captivity. He was seeing the end of what he loved. And yet he's saying, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Here's another one, Nahum 1:7.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him.
Boy, this is a good one for today. The Lord is good, a stronghold. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a place of shelter, of safety in the day of trouble. Is this not a day of trouble? He is our stronghold. He's our high tower. You know, we can run into him and be safe. That doesn't mean that all our stuff's going to be safe. It means our heart, our life,
right,
our well-being as far as our mental state, our heart, you know, the essence of who we are is safe. Doesn't mean necessarily everything physical is going to be safe. And I think that's the problem. So many people look at God that like he's like a genie and he's just supposed to make their life better because, you know, they have all these wishes. And again, I think I've said it already, but I was telling Eric, you know, God didn't send his son, and Jesus didn't come to make our lives perfect. He came to perfect us. What does that mean? That means he is changing us to be like him. But that doesn't necessarily mean our life is going to reflect perfection.
Our choice of reaction we choose.
How we respond to what's happening to us, we can be upset and angry and resentful.
And I remember you saying it can lead us to bitterness or it can lead us to betterment.
Yeah.
Bitter over better or better over bitter. It's up to us to decide which one we live in, which area we choose. And it doesn't mean, now, hear me, it doesn't mean that if you choose the bitter road, he's going to love you any less. It doesn't mean if you choose the road of the hard path that's going to make you stumble sometimes and make you make it look like you've chosen the wrong way sometimes. It doesn't mean he loves you any less or that he won't be with you as much. But if you choose the better road over the bitter road, then that better road, you will know that you know that you know this is what God had for me. This I know that this is the right way. And that's all we had when we chose to go into ministry. We could have chosen this road and he would have loved us just the same. But when we chose this road, which was very unfamiliar to us as humans, because this was the path that he had for us, it looked really different. It looked really scary. But we chose that because that was the call that he gave us. And so it won't always be politically correct or, you know, look like it. I mean, our kids even said, oh, no, we're going to starve to death. Like, you know, they were all worried about what food was going to be in our cupboard. But that's how life looks when you choose Jesus. It just is. It doesn't mean any different in his love. It only means a difference in our life.
Amen. A couple more verses. Or actually three. So, three is a couple, right? A few more verses. We'll go that way. Mark 10:18.
And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone.
So this was when the... I think the rich young ruler was coming to him and he wanted to know what he must do to be saved. And he first said, good teacher. And Jesus says, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus is God, but he's communicating this so that this gentleman who's coming to him would be ready for what God was about to say to him.
Right.
Jesus was about to say to him. Then
lays his, it's missing down in here.
I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
Oh, sorry. I misread it.
Oh, it's okay.
You did good, baby.
Okay. I thought a word was missing. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've changed the Bible. I've subtracted. I've added. Oh, no.
You did good.
It's fine. So I am the good shepherd. So this is Jesus talking about himself. He is good and he's a good shepherd. And he cares, and he lays down his life for the sheep.
Right.
That's the heart of Jesus for us. That's the heart of the Father. That's the heart of God. Let's go ahead and look at this. Did I do something weird? I guess I did something weird. Looks okay, I guess. Yeah, it works.
1 Peter 2:2-3. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
So I like this. So Peter is saying, listen, like a newborn babe, newborn infant, long for the pure spiritual milk, and that is the Word of God. That is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The milk is not necessarily... some people say, well, I don't want just the milk. You know, I want the meat. But we need the milk. You know, we need that sustenance as well as just meat. So then it says that you, by it, may grow up into salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting statement. Into salvation. Wait a minute. I thought I was saved. Aren't we saved? Yeah, but it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And so by following and seeking and desiring and in partaking the spiritual milk, like an infant, we will grow in our salvation. We will grow up into Christ. We'll grow up into God as he wants us to be. If indeed, in other words, if you really have tasted that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying is if you truly have understood that the Lord is good, then I recommend this. I recommend little travelers through here. I recommend that we have a true desire for God feeding our lives, mm-hmm. for feeding our souls, for feeding our hearts. That we would not just live life and just hope that everything works out.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do live their life that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, they don't get to know the one mm-hmm. that fully knows them.
Right.
And because they don't get to know him, they don't get to know his goodness. And they don't get to know his goodness when things are bad. Because it could get worse. We may not go back to, you know, the good old days. So a lot of people say that that's not going to happen, that we're not going to go back. But it's possible that the Lord could heal and turn things around, but it may get worse. So we may have to really be able to say, Lord, you're good, and I don't care what my circumstances look like. Mm-hmm. I'll leave you with one more verse here. It's not going to be up on the screen, but hang on, let me get it here. If I still have, nope, it's not there. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Eric, you guys can come on up. Are you going to, do you guys got a song for us? Okay. Perfect. This is Job. I think I've used this before, but it's a powerful verse. He says, though he slay me, I will hope in him.
It's Job 13:15.
Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Goes on to say, yet I will argue my ways to his face. But in other words, though God takes my life, I'm going to still trust in him. I'm going to still put my hope in him. And the only way that you can really do that is if you know that he's ultimately good. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Lord. you that you are good. No matter what our life shows us, Lord, you are good. No matter what the circumstances around us, Lord, is happening, Lord, you're good. So, Lord, I pray that our hearts would connect with that truth today. That you are good. It is who you are. It's not something you just choose to do, Lord. It's who you are. It's your character and your nature. You are good. So, Lord, we just ask that those who have struggled, Lord, in the past days or weeks or months or year or years, Lord, of seeing your goodness, understanding that you are good, Lord, that you would open up their eyes. You would let them taste and see, Lord, that you are good. You'd help them move beyond their circumstances and the walls that have separated them from your truth and be able to see, Lord, who you are. See your goodness. You're never going to let us down, Lord. No matter if our circumstances try to tell us different, Lord, you're never going to let us down, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You have a great day, and we'll see you soon.